Blog Talk Radio.
This is the E.L. Moore Journal. I am the host and producer of the E.L. Moore Journal, Ernest Moore. Okay, here we go. I hope this microphone is working. It's been a while since I did an episode. Today is technically June 8th in the year 2022. It's about 12:14 a.m. Today was a big day for California, because they had the primary elections today, including here in Los Angeles. I did vote for a few people. As a whole, I did not like how these elections are going. It's very disgusting for me. So I just picked some people that I thought were the best, and I voted for them. I did not vote for any of the judges. There was a bunch of judges running today or for this election that I don't know anything about. I didn't see any campaign ads. I didn't see any debates. So I don't know anything about these judges. Therefore, I'm not going to waste my time voting for them. Today, I'm going to give a short report on my trip to Sacramento last month for the Families Resist demonstrations at the Sacramento Capitol. I was invited to go with them. They are primarily concerned with Child Protective Services. I have a lot to say about Child Protective Services, especially for Los Angeles County. There were people that came from many other counties in California to the demonstration. So there seems to be some problems here with Child Protective Services in general, and the courts. Now, I did not know before I went that also they were going to have people there protesting conservatorships and probate court. They didn't tell me that at all. I would have been a lot more interested. But I'm glad I went up there. I actually drove because I didn't want to be bothered with the airports and possibly having to wear a mask on the airplane and people fighting and all that kind of madness, which actually turned out pretty good because I had a brand new car. I've got a Hyundai Sonata Limited, and it is just great. I mean, it's really comfortable, great ride. And it was good for me to get away from Los Angeles for a while. I haven't had a vacation in years, especially the last, it's been over like 3 years, 3.5 years, I think. But especially from the last 2 years, it was just great to get out of Los Angeles, period, and this rat race that we have here. And I saw on the way up there how once you go about I think it's about an hour or so north from LA, or especially 2 hours. There's nothing but wide open country. And it makes me ask the question, why are so many people jam-packed into Los Angeles? Why is there so much overcrowding? There's plenty of room to expand. Also, on the way up there, I saw rivers, I saw lakes. So I'm also questioning this thing about water shortages that they're trying to push on down our throat now. But it's particularly disturbing to me because Los Angeles is close to the ocean. We have a vast ocean to the west of Los Angeles. And to me, that's just ridiculous that they have to try to put these restrictions on us. And I think there's ulterior motives. Let's put it that way. I don't want to get into that for this show. I want to concentrate on these demonstrations in Sacramento. But to make a long story short, it was a great drive. I was kind of disappointed with the hotels and motels there in Sacramento. That's a whole nother story. Things have changed in Sacramento. I used to live up there back in the 90s, and I could see how things are beginning to change. You see more homeless people now. I hear they have tents all along the river that runs through Sacramento. And that river is still there. It hasn't dried up. And the whole city is just covered with trees. So they're getting plenty of water there. But they're saying Los Angeles is, or they're saying, actually they're saying the state is in a drought situation. So now I came to the demonstrations. They were kind of interesting. I actually spent maybe about a week there in Sacramento, and I saw that they have demonstrations going on at the Capitol just about every other day up there in Sacramento, right at the Capitol. And I don't know if this demonstration got much exposure in the TV media. I didn't see anything about it when I was at the motels watching the news. There was a big demonstration that came through there about the abortion rights and several others that got a lot of news coverage. So I am going to do my best to publish media that I got for my Justice Channel. And this is the first publication that I have so far. I wish I had brought a better laptop with me so that I could edit my media while I'm up there. I really enjoy doing that. I could have done some shows in the hotels that I was in. So next time I will have some improvements and bring them with me so that I can continue to do my podcasts. One of the people that I met there in Sacramento, they had a booth there. It was called the SEER Organization. And they are advocating for probate conservatorship reform and supported decision making. They are based in North Carolina. And I actually got a chance to interview their executive director, Rick Black. And he gave me a lot of good information while I was there, especially on how to lobby the politicians. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to go with a group of people to lobby the politicians, but I missed out on that. Again, I think things could have been coordinated a little bit better. But I did go in by myself, actually. And the information that Rick Black gave me was very helpful for that. I was able to interview him there during the demonstration, and the audio came out pretty good, even though there was a lot of background noise. The device that I was using did a very good job of filtering out the background noise because it was really loud. But I think you can hear what he's saying. The information is very good. So that's why I am in featuring it here in this podcast, so that other people will see what's involved in our efforts to try to bring reforms to probate conservatorships and probate litigation reform and actually the structure of the courts. So I think I am going to play this clip now. This is my interview with Rick Black at the demonstrations in Sacramento. This was May 11th, I believe. That was last month. And here we go.
Another noise.
We saw that 10 assembly members and senators, the two we saw live, have an active interest in the area with regard to APS abuses and adult conservatorship frauds. Brian Mainshine, Assemblyman Brian Mainshine, is sponsoring AB 1663, which is the supportive decision-making bill, and also reinforces with the judges that they are to honor durable powers of attorney and health care advance directives and family rights. Sadly, that bill is on suspend mode now, which means it may not be funded because it will require funding, but it is still alive in the assembly side. The other assembly person that we met with personally was Mia Bonta. She is newly appointed as she replaced her husband, who is now the Attorney General for the state of California. Very interesting couple. She was a law Yale University grad. In fact, was in a press conference yesterday just before we met with her, where she gave a very impassioned speech about the importance of Roe v. Wade, because at age 21, she herself got an abortion prior to marrying her husband. But the discussion that we had with Mia was in relationship to the importance of family and how she, as an assembly member and her husband as the attorney general, he has the ability to enter, to investigate and prosecute folks, attorneys, professional fiduciaries, conservators, for criminal acts that are occurring within the probate environment. So we're going to have more follow-up on that. She, in fact, had her legislative aide, who's a immigration litigator who worked down on the border, heard the story, heard our discussion, and agreed to take action on this. So Bonta and Mainshine on the assembly side are starting to get it, and Mainshine in particular is taking action with this bill, 1663. We then spoke with Senator John Laird's senior staffer, Senator Ben Allen's chief of staff. Who else? Evan Lowe, chief of staff. He's out of San Francisco. Assemblyman Evan Lowe, and a few others that I'm not coming off the top of my head, but Assemblyman Evan Lowe, Assemblyman or Senator Ben Allen, Senator John Laird, and Assemblywoman Mia Bonta, and Brian Mainshine. All were given leave behinds. All were told about the issues and where we need their support, and that 1663 will not address the issues, because this is about judges with poor judgment and predatory attorneys who take full advantage of it. And until really two solutions, what we want is free counsel. There's federal funds available to provide free counsel for any person petitioned for conservatorship. Then that they be trained, third party appointed, not appointed by the judge, but by a third party legal aid society, or better yet, the protection and advocacy organization that's funded by federal funds within the state, so that they have independent, unbiased, trained, free counsel, the ward. The second part is, when you're in this system, give yourself an exit ramp. The current appeal process doesn't give these families a fighting chance. So we are asking, set up a statewide jury of your peers that hears all contested cases, so that if you're not happy with the way your judge is hearing the case, you can appeal to that body and have the entire case heard. The issue with the equity court, Ernest, these judges know there's no oversight. I can do whatever I want, and you can't stop me. So now, 80 years into the system, these judges have come to realize, just do what makes you feel good. Feeling good for them means families get destroyed. So that's our summary. It was a great day. We saw, and there were a couple more that we saw. Bob Wieckowski. Yeah, I've got all the cards. But I can just write down the names.
I'll send you an email.
All you want to do, go over to O on the first floor. It'll show, there's a digital screen there to show what rooms all these men and women are in. You go upstairs, knock on the door. They'll let, if the door thing is green light on it, just walk right on in. If it's red.
They over there?
Yeah. They're not here. You want to go around the Capitol and down O Street, which, and the building is just on the other side of that building straight in front of us. And that is where all the senators and assembly members' offices are, because they're remodeling the Capitol. And it's slick. You just sit down in the lobby. Oh, okay, that room, those are the one I want to see. Go to the elevator bank, up you go, knock on the door, grab a card, give them a leave behind. What we counsel that works to keep these conservatorships from being created.
Did that have to be voter approved?
It was. Yeah. But what drove it through, Ernest, was when we lost our case in 14, I immediately started researching records and could easily show the pattern and practice where these judges were awarding conservatorships inappropriately. We got the Attorney General to open up a statewide investigation, which has yielded 10 criminal convictions of attorneys and guardians who were using the guardianship system to cover a criminal enterprise. I mean, this was bad in Nevada, what we uncovered when her dad was abducted. They didn't have any choice but to clean up the system. We can do the same here, but it means all of us putting the pressure on. What happened in Nevada is exactly what's happening in California in certain counties, but your AG won't take a position, not yours, but the California AG has refused to take a position. We're hoping, because Banta...
Have you tried to talk to him?
No, because he's brand new. In fact, some of our people are hopefully going to talk to him personally on this issue within the next couple of weeks. So to answer your question, not me. But yes. and I'm more than willing to help.
Yeah. I'm going to try to talk to him, too.
But Elmer, or Ernest, the important part is criminal jurisdictions trump equity court jurisdictions. The AG does have the obligation to investigate these crimes
and prosecute.
And prosecute. So
they're judges, too.
Third-party auditing. Courts cannot audit conservatorship cases. They aren't capable, because just what we were talking about, North Carolina, clerks can't adjudicate cases. You have no checks and balances. The problem you have with clerk of courts, they're relatively good at managing records, but now you're asking them, take that spreadsheet, put it on an Excel spreadsheet, and do a forensic audit. Make sure that it truly reconciles. Check those assets. Were they actually sold at those prices? These clerks aren't capable of doing that. Give it to an organization that does forensic accounting.
They don't do that in California.
They don't do it in most.
They provide what they call probate,
which is never an answer.
They're supposed to review what is filed, but it's up to the litigants to do the account.
And when the court works harder at protecting that record, which they
don't,
Britney Spears doesn't have all of her annual accountings.
And thrust me into an unimaginable,
most people don't get
never
their annual accountings. You shouldn't have to hire an attorney.
The victim of domestic violence was charged with failure to protect.
That's right.
Ingham.
Yes, same.
Who was her guardian litem.
I know.
He was a guardian litem for my mother.
Oh, jeez.
I know a lot about that rat.
Oh, he is a rat.
I tried to arrest him, too, in court.
Yeah, but think about the musical chairs that goes on. I scratch your back, you scratch my back, we scratch his back. And you're sitting there going,
it's a racket.
That's right.
It's the judges, and the court-appointed attorney.
That's about it for that interview. I hope you could hear most of it. It got kind of noisy at the end there. There was a speaker talking. Actually, it was a lot louder than that. And it was, again, my device made it, did a very good job of filtering out all that background noise, because there was a lot of noise going on. It seems that I have run out of the stream time on Blog Talk Radio. I see that in my switchboard here. I don't know if this is recording or not. If not, I will do the show again. Usually it goes on for a while. So I will have to cut this episode short. Hopefully it recorded everything. And that'll allow my audience to hear what Rick Black was talking about. This is what we're fighting against. This is what we're up against. This is the process that we have to go through to try to bring an effective change to our judicial system in regard to probate conservatorships, as well as general reform altogether. There was people there, again, protesting for Child Protective Services and family court as well. That's another long story. I know from my experiences here in Los Angeles that the courts are very corrupt. And it's not just the probate court, eviction courts, restraining orders, etc., are just pathetic. And it's I would say that the judges have most of the blame for this type of runaway corruption that's going on in our courts, and it's affecting individuals and families. And I've even begun to talk about the criminal courts. Criminal courts in LA are just pathetic and very dangerous. Now, that's because they can lock you up for years and really devastate your life. So I think that is it for this episode. I will be publishing more media about my trip to Sacramento, California, and the demonstrations there, and my efforts to lobby the politicians there to try to bring reforms. That's it for today. Let me play my exit music. Hear my podcast, read my blog posts, and see my videos on my new website that I am building at tjcla.com. I am also on Facebook at facebook.com/Ernest.more.3538.